It is August the 4th. Oh, my. It's hard to believe. We've moved through the summer so quickly. And that it's been such a, it really has been a beautiful season most places. And I'm glad you're here today. Welcome to Christ's Blessing. This is all about His blessing for you. The offering of the Holy Spirit as a sacrament to the benefit of your life, body, heart, soul, and being, however it may touch you, in whatever way, and in whatever way it can lift up your life and make it more whole. I actually, my thought for the day, which I'm going to focus on just a little bit later on after I take some calls from our community, and that is the difference between progress and wholeness. There is a huge difference. And sometimes you, as the old proverb goes, you have to break a few eggs to make an omelet. Sometimes you have to destroy, well, I don't mean destroy so much as disrupt, alter, or change a lower order of what we've been thinking of as whole and sufficient in order to allow ourselves to receive and grow into a larger order. So there are times when actually progress really is the beneficial and the most important thing for us to have our attention on. But overall, I think that most people in at least the latter part of the 20th century and the first decade of the new millennium have focused so intensely on progress and change that we haven't relaxed into our wholeness enough. And it is not an accident that the word holy comes from whole. And when we speak of the Holy Spirit, we're actually referring to the whole Spirit of divinity. Sometimes we say, well, God's with, my soul is with God, but I sure am having a lot of trouble in the world. That to me indicates a division in your wholeness, or I sure feel close to God when I do this, and I don't feel close to God when I do that. Well, we're going to talk about those things. This is building on what we introduced last week. I've really, really got some powerful messages for you in the next 2 or 3 weeks about what's most important in our life. And today we're going to focus on wholeness. If you missed the call last week, you might want to check on it later and play it back on ChristBlessing.org. We do keep those there for you. And sometimes it's important to get a sequence of inspirations so that we can have a more whole and complete response to the messages that are being delivered to us in these days. I see that Desmond is on the call. I'm going to open your line, Desmond. I'm looking forward to speaking with you. Hi.
Good morning or good afternoon, Glenda, or good evening. And
well, it's every time, all time.
I know. As I was going through the stage, because I started thinking about it, I realized that. Anyways, I was thinking that, wholeness, maybe perhaps, the greatest part about wholeness is that you have command with wholeness. And one of my questions was a statement that I had is that I. Finally, I've read that Key to Yeshua chapter on our current meditation 100,000 times, and not really, but I've read it so many times, and I finally understood it really well this morning. And my question
was... Which chapter is that, Desmond? I didn't hear very well.
Prayer and meditation.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite chapter. And you were talking last week about healing, and I was wondering... with Yeshua, how did he restore his wholeness? And as Mary Magdalene, Maura was saying, said that Yeshua she wanted to punch Yeshua and hug him, and said, I'm not, I haven't ascended to my father yet, and is he not whole, or how did he restore his body so quickly, and how did he restore wholeness, and how did he kind of do his miracle, and stuff?
Well, Desmond, we haven't been given all of the details on that. We can just surmise from other things that we have been told in his life. And one of the things that I have been praying for more understanding on, which I mentioned last week and is coming forth in my prayers and meditations as well, and that is the I have been asking for an understanding on the divinity of the human body. So often we think of our human body as mortal, dispensable, and the lower part of all that we are. In other words, basically our clay feet, to literally use the metaphor of being created from clay. We think of our physical existence as our clay feet. That exposes us to challenges of humility, and that can get more easily broken, and that is harder to put back together when something goes wrong. And I would say there's a certain amount of truth to that, in that all physical existence does possess vulnerability. But there's an interesting thing that we have developed in the history of humanity, because so much of our competitive evolution has shunned vulnerability. We think of vulnerability as being weak. We think of it as being even despicable, or at least an embarrassment and a sign of our insignificance in this universe. Well, when we look at the scriptures and the life of Yeshua, I would say that most of his miracles were directed toward demonstrating the divinity of the human body, that it literally can be made whole with the presence of the Holy Spirit and love and the infilling with the presence of God. It literally can be made whole. And if you notice, I don't think he ever, at least nothing recorded in the scripture, I don't think he ever extracted a soul from the body and said then, now look at your perfection. Now that you are free of that limited inferior vessel that you're in. I don't think he ever did that. There's certainly no record of it, and it would be inconsistent with anything I know about him. Because our body is part of our wholeness. And part of restoring our wholeness is to restore our acceptance of mortality, our acceptance of vulnerability, and look at his close friends, most especially Judas, but other apostles who were with him before his crucifixion. What were they trying to tell him? They were trying to tell him, you are great. You are the holy Son of God. Escape this situation. All you have to do is just leave this mortal realm, leave this mortal body, save your soul. That's what they were telling him. And he prayed, and he prayed till he sweated tears of blood. And never once did God release him from the mortal frame. And he had to go through that, demonstrating that actually in our vulnerability, in our weakness, we are made the most divine. And I think you can look at the lives of the saints. Every single one of them was plagued with some sort of either physical illness or challenge or state of duress that brought their vulnerability into the forefront of their life. I don't think there's a single apostle that wasn't martyred. Now, John the Beloved didn't die of martyrdom, but he certainly was martyred. He was cast in boiling oil, and I think that's a pretty horrible thing to suffer. because they had not accepted their mortality. Now, the one exception is the Blessed Mother. But now let's look at her. She had to accept the holiness of her body right off the bat, right in the beginning. That was her commission into this sacred story, is that she had to be a holy conveyor of God's mortality. And so she had already accomplished that. Martyrdom was not necessary for her. You see, and martyrdom wouldn't have been necessary for any of them had they accepted the divinity of mortality. Now, I think that sounds like a paradox, like a contradiction, but it only seems that way to the mind that hasn't yet arrived at a full understanding of that. Now, after, to get back to the point of your question, after the resurrection, I believe that Yeshua was putting the body back with the soul. And he did not want her to touch him when he was primarily in a state of spiritual splendor. It was obviously the soul and his faith and his union with God that carried him through the survival of that event. But he used it to transfigure his body into an immortal body, and he, for the next day, he was literally putting his body and soul back together. And then finally, he allowed Thomas to touch his body and prove to the apostles that the body was there. This was not just a spiritual apparition. So it's clear to me that there was a process involved. Now, what that process was, I don't know. He hasn't told me personally, and the scriptures don't detail it, but they do show that an interesting, very interesting example of that was he was on the road to Emmaus, and he started walking with some of his followers, and they didn't recognize him, and he was talking with them along the road, and they invited him home to dinner. Now, just watch this revelation, how this shows up, because chances are he was more in a spiritual form than a physical one, looking a little bit different because of his transcendent state. But they went home, and they started to eat the meal. Once he took a bite of food, that bite of food solidified his body-soul connection. And they all were stunned, and they said, "Oh, Lord, it is you." You see, right at that moment, through the solidification of food, he brought it all back together.
Do you think food is our connection to the divinity of our existence on Earth?
No, I think it was just something that helped him put the body back together with the soul in a complete union. Now, I do think that mindful use of good food and living food is one of the ways we honor the divinity of the body. And I think being mindful of everything we do with our body, with respect for it, what we eat, how we breathe, that we take time for rest, and that we take time for joy, the kind of experiences like that the body loves, like sitting by a stream and putting your feet in the stream, feeling the blessed connection with nature. And as Yeshua taught me how to conduct the blessing, if you will notice, because you've been to the Blessing Giver seminar and all the rest of you have learned that we're conducting energy. It is going to you physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. All levels of your body, heart, soul, and being. This is not just a detached spiritual prayer. This is a holistic phenomena. And I think the power of Christ's blessing is that he is doing what he did when he walked upon the earth. He addressed everyone in their physical being. And I think one of the reasons, other than compassion, which of course was a large factor for him, one of the reasons he would choose poor and homeless people to heal is because if he would just heal any, let's say if he only healed the elite and the daughters and sons of princes, people would say, oh, well, yes, of course he could heal them. They're well-bred people. No, he went to the poorest of the poor, lepers. He went to the street people who had been lame, lying on blankets for years, or blind people. He showed that every human body is created from a template of the divine. Now, you could say, well, Glenda, then why isn't that happening more for most of us? Well, there are several reasons that I can tell you for sure, and a whole lot of reasons I could only speculate on, because I haven't gotten there completely myself. You know, obviously, I had to have conventional surgery just very recently. And that's not to say that God didn't work through my surgeon, because it was a very blessed event. The blessings that uplifted me, the prayers that guided me through it, the quicker than almost as fast as the speed of light healing, all of this was carried by the blessings of God. But still, I didn't get to bypass it because I haven't learned it all. So while we're hoping, what we're leading toward in the blessings with Christ is a fuller and greater understanding. Obviously, the apostles who studied with him, I'm talking about Peter, I'm talking about James and Paul and Andrew and Thomas. I'm talking about the ones who walked with him, who hugged him and shook his hand and watched him heal people. They didn't get it all either. So this is a big learning curve. And I can't tell you all of it, but I know one thing, a good place to start is by no longer belittling the human body. Just stop that right now. Don't belittle the human body. And stop our judgment of weaknesses in the body. We don't know why they're there. Perhaps we're processing sins of humanity. Perhaps we're doing something absolutely awesome through these weaknesses of the body. We don't know. But stop judging. Okay. Stop denigrating. Stop judging. Stop saying, well, I'm a divine spirit in a mortal, weak, and worthless frame. That is wrong. Yeshua taught us it's wrong, and it defies your wholeness. Okay. Now let's turn to something positive. Honor your body. Let it speak to you. Start a sacred conversation with it where you cultivate its trust. And I have to tell you, at first, it probably won't talk to you because we have abused our body. Let's just consider this. What if there was a little feral cat that had never had human love at all? He had just run wild and virtually lived on bugs and hid in trees. And you saw him one day, and you wanted to make friends with him. I'm sure he would run away at first. And then he might get to where he doesn't run away. Eventually, he might take a piece of food if you left before he went down to get that food. You know, when any of us abuse a life form, a product from nature, it becomes very shy and skittish of us. So it may take a while for your body to trust you enough to even talk to you. And we've earned that because we've mistreated it. We haven't given it the credit for the incredible intelligence it has. But Allah, give it an opportunity to start trusting you. And then do a few nice things for your body, such as eating better food, being mindful of things that hurt your body. Rest when you're tired. Drink good water. And when you drink water, pray before you drink. Allow your body also, now let's take it up a notch. Okay, so let's say we're doing good things for it physically. Let's take it up a notch. Now, when we go into prayer, include your body in the prayer. Stretch a little bit before you start the prayer. Ask your body how it feels. Ask your body how it would like to pray also, how it would like to join you in the prayer. Ask your body what it needs. Ask your body how you can pray for it. Allow you and your body to be a partner. Eventually you'll be one, but a good starting point is partnership, where you consider it in your prayer. Now, let's move into meditation. Let's consider the importance of breath to meditation. This has been one of the key universal constants in every form of meditation around the world for as long as meditation has been taught and remembered and recorded and that we know anything consciously about, is first of all to relax. Relax your body. It's a constant of meditation. Start with your toes. Work up through your feet, your ankles, your knees, your thighs, your abdomen, and then up through your chest, taking deep breaths. Breathe in energy. Release toxins or stress. Work your way all the way up to the top of your head. And then bless your brain and your mind and allow them to rest. A nice way to do this so that you don't take a negative attitude towards your brain and mind, because they are good servants, is just say, I know how hard you work for me. I would like to give you a moment of peace. Make it as a gift. Honor every part of you. And give this as a gift to your mind. And open your heart, and as you open your heart, thank your heart for all it has endured, all the judgment, all the pain, all the spirit of inadequacy you've poured into it, and invite it into its sublimity. These are eternal constants of meditation, and actually I think this is why so many people actually gain more benefits from meditation than they do from prayer. The classic mistake that almost everyone makes from prayer, which is why Yeshua, according to what he told me, was so reluctant to teach his apostles how to pray, because they were praying from inadequacy, from loss, from hurt. They would open their prayers with, oh God, I am so hurting, I am so afraid, I'm so alone, I'm so starving, please help me with this problem. And their entire attention would be on what they don't have, on what they're suffering from disconnection. And then as they would ask forgiveness, they would ask forgiveness with justification. Please forgive me for stealing this food. But this rich person has so much. He's just a dirty, rotten scoundrel. And I hope you will deal with him, and thank you for forgiving me for stealing a morsel of food. That sort of thing. People pour into their prayers. There are many judgments. There are many fears. There are many limitations. And all that does is create further separation, further distance from wholeness. So Yeshua gave them a prayer that was perfectly designed to address all the things that would concern a person inside of prayer, such as give us our daily bread, forgive us, and that sort of thing. Forgive us as we forgive others, you see? So he created the perfect prayer, a prayer that allowed people to address all of their needs and desires without deflecting into separation or judgment or breaking down the wholeness that we have such an opportunity to achieve through prayer. Prayer is the most wonderful way to achieve unity, because we are loving and being in communion with the greatest source of love there is. The greatest source. And when we are in that level of communion, we can experience true and perfect wholeness, because we are in communion with unconditional love. Love that doesn't judge us, even when we judge ourselves, even when we do bad things. We're not judged. And so when we pray from our wholeness, from the desire for wholeness, prayer is a miraculous thing. It is the highest communion you can have. But for many people, restoring their wholeness, I have found that meditation is often a better entry point, because people are less likely to bring their fears, their judgments, and their inadequacies into meditation. They're also more likely to include their body through just relaxing it and breathing into it and honoring it and striving for the union of body, heart, and soul. So, I guess you had no idea you were going to provoke such an immense answer, but you asked some powerful questions. And actually, it's pretty much what I wanted to talk about today anyway, Desmond. So I hope I addressed your question. And
you did. I'm sorry. I wanted to ask, like, when we hurt another person and then their bodies get scared, like their bodies don't receive us when we've changed our character and we really want to be a loving person, and the body just responds like fear, like the animal, like the cat, and I don't know how to not just ask for like forgiveness, but with my prayer, and it actually happened a lot quicker, and being able to have that prayer answered in like the most beautiful way, like an actual healing for the other person and for me in a relationship, so both our bodies can work together and love each other.
Well, Desmond, I'll tell you what. In my experience, when someone has gotten hurt, what I find is the most powerful reapproach is actually not so much at first. Not at first. In the end, yes, but not at first. Approaching them, asking for forgiveness. Because a lot of people interpret that as you asking for permission to hurt them again. And this is on a reactive level, not an intellectual level, but that's how they respond. And so I find that gestures of physical and emotional cultivation of trust is what works best. Let them, first of all, experience your humility by cultivating their trust. Let people know that you can be trusted and that you will not abuse them emotionally or mentally or physically or in whatever way you have. And just a little bit of, shall we say, humble behavior around them. Not self-denigrating behavior, because you're now a better person. Be in your self-esteem, but at the same time realize that that person probably doesn't trust you. You're going to have to earn that person's trust. And you do it with physical actions of just simple things like showing up on time, or physical things like, can I help you with that? Or what can I do to be of service here? Or just speaking in a more loving tone of voice. Things that communicate and get to a physical level. And again, here we're looping back to the divinity of the body to know the truth. And as a matter of fact, I think some very powerful research has been done on the way the body can know truth that the mind and heart have lost their ability to see. A man I really, really admire, Dr. David Hawking, did a lot of research in the field of, the common term is muscle testing. There's a much more technical term for it, but what he found is the body doesn't lie. Now, I submit that to all of you about the divinity of the body. If the mind can lie, even to us, and often we're the one it does lie to, if the heart can withhold its grace, if our emotions can be hurtful, and yet our body never lies, does that say something to you, to everybody, about the divinity of the body? Does that offer up a suggestion of the fact that the body often knows things the mind has not yet grasped? Because the mind may have a lot of contradictory agendas, as most people do. You know, you really want to be a good person doing good work, but you also need to keep your job and not say certain things to certain people. That's the way the mind works. Sometimes even the heart can subscribe to agendas like that. Not as often as the mind, but it can. The heart can compromise itself, and that causes great physical damage. And that's getting back to another reason why our bodies are not functioning at as high a level of divinity as they can, is because when our hearts compromise their divinity, they cause great damage to the body. When our minds cause us to live in constant states of contradiction and deception or just dirty thinking, it damages our body. It damages our body far more than the pollution in the air and the water. And yet we do it. We need at least one day a week in which we keep life holy, in which we keep life sacred. This was the reason that the Sabbath was instituted. And this is why we're here today. And we may not be able to clean up all the air on the Sabbath or all the water. We may not be able to have the purest food in this very soil-contaminated world, but we can have pure thoughts. We can have a pure heart. We can be clean in our heart, mind, soul, emotions, relationships. We can clean our life up. On this day, we can surrender to be one with God. And that's what we do in the blessing. And therefore, the blessing helps to repair the damage our broken hearts have caused to our body, our contradictory minds have caused to our body, our overworked, demanding lifestyle has caused to our body. We can be healed by cleaning up all of these areas of our life and enjoying the blessings of Christ. And now it's time to do just that. So thank you for opening this up for us, Desmond. I really appreciate that. And we're going to leave the Q&A mode now. And I'm going to put us all on.
Thank you, Glenda.
As I welcome, as I welcome the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I would like all of you just to relax now in your chair. Have your head pointed upward to heaven. And nothing covering your head. Your feet bare and on the floor, open to the energies of the earth, in a nice relaxed position where you can just comfortably inhale into your heart. Thank your mind for the vigilant work it does, and ask it to have a vacation, a nice, clean vacation where many answers may be provided to it, knowing that that's what the mind likes, is answers. So you're going to be in your state of wholeness, and bless your body. Thank your body for being here, serving you in all of your needs, in all of your ways, unconditionally, and not judging you. Of all the parts of your being, your body is probably the least judgmental. I leave you that to contemplate on as you surrender into it, and the childlike perfection for which it was created. Let us ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And I ask that each one of you begin your prayer to the Creator. I will offer a thank you and an invocation to Yeshua. He will conduct the blessing along with the Holy Spirit to activate within you the divine power of the Creator. And then at the end of this process, I will let you know when it's complete. I would like you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes and just assimilate. Just receive. Open yourself. Assimilate. And be one with your God, yourself, your heart, with Yeshua and the Holy Spirit. Dear Yeshua, thank you for bringing us the teaching of our wholeness. And that only in our wholeness are we actually healed. Only in our wholeness do we cease judgment, do we truly know peace, and do we truly know the unconditional love of our Creator that is reached by nothing. Not our frailty, not our sins, not our mortality. For God is with us always. In all times, in all places, in all ways. We ask that today, as we receive the Holy Spirit and the energy of creation, that the power of God within us is activated to carry us again and more fully into our wholeness. Thank you for your love and for being with us and for conducting this beautiful sacrament. Amen. energetic conveyance of your blessing is complete. Now, go and rest. Assimilate. Be one with God. And just receive and take in all the blessings and all the love that you've been given. I wish you have a wonderful week and look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye from me.